If any adults would like to go coloring, please feel free. I understand that hate is a strong word, and I shouldn't be using it lightly, but the truth is I do hate when I'm reading a book or when I'm watching a movie and somebody comes and says, oh, I've seen this movie, this is how it ends. Oh, they don't end up together. And it's like, I'm watching it. I want to discover for myself how it ends. Don't just tell me how the movie ends, you know. At least say, spoiler alert, I'm going to tell you now how the movie ends. I could cover my ears and not hear that. So when I watch a movie, when I read the book, I want to discover for myself how that ends. But I discovered something rather interesting. I discovered that Phoebe has a different approach to movies. She actually likes to know the end of the movie. She likes to know how the movie ends. If it's an online movie, for example, she'll watch the end and then watch the whole movie. And I said, that doesn't make sense. And she said, yes, it does. I want to know how the movie ends. If it ends the way I like it to end, then I watch it. If it doesn't end properly, what's the point watching the movie? And I was like, yeah, there must be some logic in that. There must be some wisdom. So, but I don't know if you noticed, but the Gospel of John is actually written Phoebe style. Okay? Have you noticed that? The Gospel of John is different from the other Gospels. If you think of the Gospel of Matthew, how does that start? What's at the beginning? Some of the stories, Gospel of Matthew. Birth of Jesus, what else? His genealogy, and then chapter 2, who comes to visit Jesus? Okay? The Magi, okay, the wise men, kings, whatever you want to call them. You have Mark, where Mark doesn't even mention the birth of Jesus. He goes straight into his ministry and he carries on. How about Luke? How is Luke different? You have what? You have the announcement, you have the angel coming to Mary, you have Elizabeth, and you have everything. When it comes to the Gospel of John, without a warning, on the very first, if you want to open with me to John chapter 1, and depending on the layout on your translation, if you're using the church version of the Bible, well, the church Bibles, NIV version, page 1063, straight on the first page, without any warning, you have John, quoting John the Baptist, saying this. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In other words, what was John saying, John the Baptist? What was he saying here? Because if we understand what he was saying, we understand that they should have put a spoiler alert, because he spoiled the whole of the gospel. When he says that Jesus is the Lamb of God, what did he mean by that? What was to happen to Jesus? You know, in the Old Testament, we do the lamb. What would they do with the lamb? If you think of the story when they went out of Egypt and they had to take this lamb, what did they do with the lamb? They sacrificed the lamb, and the blood of the lamb had to be put on the doorpost, and the lamb would save everybody in the house, right? So from the beginning, he ruins the gospel and he says, oh, by the way, Jesus will die. I was like, thank you, John. I wanted to read that book and I wanted to discover for myself. But even from the beginning, says, oh, by the way, Jesus dies. Why would he do that? There must be a reason. Maybe it was because this message was so important that we shouldn't miss it. Straight at the beginning of his gospel, John says, look, folks, I want you to understand something that's very important. Don't miss the end. I'm telling you from the beginning, don't miss the end. You see, in my new job, I have to do all sorts of training sessions. There are these videos you have to watch. Many of them are so boring, okay? But at the beginning, I'm told, watch it carefully, because at the end, there is a test. And your job depends on passing this test. You know, then suddenly, I watch every minute very carefully, because my job depends on it. What John is saying is, at the beginning, I'm writing this book, there are 20-some chapters, but let me tell you something, your life depends on it. Your life depends on it. You need to understand, because it's a matter of life and death, your life depends on it, understanding who this Jesus is, and understanding why he came. By the way, spoiler alert, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's why he starts this way. And it's interesting that John, unlike Matthew and unlike Luke, the Gospel of Luke starts with Jesus being born, and you could get the impression that Jesus started his existence at his conception, like all of us. But John says that's not the case. Have a look at John chapter 1, verse 1, 2 and 3. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. He says, Jesus didn't start his existence at his conception or at his birth. He started way before that. When? When did Jesus start to exist? Well, really, he doesn't really say when he started to exist. He says that he was already there with God, the Father. We have the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit existing together as one God from eternity. And in verse 14, we have the story of Christmas. Okay, it's just in verse 14. What does verse 14 say? Who would like to read verse 14 for us? John chapter 1, verse 14. Anybody got the Bible open to John chapter 1, verse 14? That's the story of Christmas in just a few words. The Word became flesh. The Word, which is Jesus, became flesh. The one who existed from eternity took a body, came on this planet. But how did he come? Full of grace and truth. So John starts from the days of eternity, and then he's straight into to the subject. He is the Lamb of God. I mean, that must have been shocking for people who read the Gospel of John back 2,000 years ago when he first wrote it, because these people were familiar with the Old Testament, were familiar with the promises of a Messiah, of a king, of a conqueror. So if John was to say, look, the conqueror of God who conquers the nations. Look, the King of Kings who rules. That would have been, yeah, that's what we expect from this character. But he says, no. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You see, I've been a Christian for more than 25 years. And each time I read this story of Jesus coming, becoming a small baby, and then dying for me, it still touches my heart. I go like, how is that even possible that the King of Kings could come on this planet to die for me and for you? You see, we celebrate today the birth of Jesus, but we are ready for the birth of Jesus. We celebrate it tomorrow, though we sang that he was born this morning. We'll save it for tomorrow morning. And although it's Christmas Eve, and although we celebrate the birth, and we still have here the breaking of bread on the table, and we're going to break bread together. Why? Why breaking bread on Christmas Eve? I mean, breaking of bread is more associated with Good Friday, with Easter, with that kind of stuff. Well, we'll do it John style, right? At the beginning of his gospel, the very first page, he says, look, the Lamb of God. Don't miss the point of why Jesus came. He came to die for you. He came to save you. He came to take away your sins. So this morning, let us prepare our hearts. And let us break bread together. Let us take the cup together. But let us think of why Jesus came. And let us give thanks, not for a little baby that was born. It's, you know, Christmas is not so much for us a birthday. It is a birthday, but it's not really a birthday. It's much more than that. It's a commemoration of God becoming a human being to be the Lamb of God who died for my sin and for your sin. I will invite Sean to break the bread for us. I wouldn't like to touch it. I want to pass on whatever I've got. So, but after he breaks the bread, let us be prepared and let us share together. While he breaks the bread, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful for your Son who came to be the Lamb of God, who came to be the sacrifice for me and for my sins, for us and for our sins. And Lord, while we get ready to celebrate his birth on this planet, we do not want to miss the most important point, that he came to die for our sins. Lord, we come this morning and we confess our sins. Lord, we say sorry for our sins. Lord, we say that we want to lead a holy life. And as we break bread together, we don't want just to confess our sins, but we also want to rejoice in that forgiveness that you gave us in Jesus Christ. And also, Lord, please help us to lead that life that pleases you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.